The scripture before our lesson today will be Galatians 5, 22-26. Galatians 5, 22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other.
Good morning. It's a wonderful day to come out to worship our Lord and our God. This morning we're going to talk about being fellow heirs. And some of you are going to see your picture. I put my favorite people up. So I hate for some of you to figure out this way. But we're fellow heirs. It's an amazing thing to me to think about that. I love that we just sang Soldiers of Christ Arise. We talked about this in the Thursday morning class. It's interesting to me to stand up and to sing with my fellow soldiers. To sing with the people that have the exact same armor on, hopefully. And to understand that we're all striving together. And we're all not in competition with one another, but we're all striving to help one another. You are my fellow heir. You have the right to the inheritance just like I do. And praise be to God for that. We have a wonderful family here at West Mason. And I appreciate all of you for what you bring to the congregation. I leave this picture up a little longer for Karen Booker to see herself because I know she likes it. I'll get in trouble for that later. But you think about the reality of this. Sometimes we get so caught up in local congregations from the idea that you and I, or there's certain people that do more work, and therefore we have more opportunities, we have a higher standing, whatever the case may be. And the reality is we're all the same. We're all fellow heirs in Christ Jesus. Some of us have different roles, certainly. Some of us have various talents, thankfully. But we're all fellow heirs. This year we're talking about being heirs with Christ. And not only am I an heir with Christ, I'm an heir with you. And there's an importance to that as we go through this. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we're told about this armor of God. And the reality sometimes when it comes to this armor of God is the idea that we think it's just for little kids. They put on their little armor and they look so neat in Vacation Bible School. We have these little pictures. You and I are to put on this armor. And as we just sang, the idea of putting on the full armor of Him. And not only after we put on the full armor of Him, you better take the panoply of God with you. You have to understand first and foremost, as verse 10 and 11 says, this starts with your relationship with God. You can put on as much armor as you would like. If it doesn't start with relationship with God and it being God's armor, it doesn't matter. The interesting thing that it comes down to, and this was mentioned in class Thursday morning, is the idea of how awesome it is for me to know that I am standing in this battle next to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I can win the battle by myself as long as I'm on God's side. But it is awesome to know, as a local body of Christ, that I am not by myself. That I have trust and confidence in the one standing next to me, that his shield is not made out of cardboard, and that he is not going to run away when difficulties come, and that he is going to stand and protect me just like I am going to protect him or her. It is a united front. You know what happens, though? The easiest way for you and I to get hit is friendly fire, so often. I can block the things from outside. We can all have our shields up, but if Jason French is shooting me from back, what point does that do? We are a united front. We are a family. We have all things in common. And the idea of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and we'll read them, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. And I'll stop there. You understand, all of these things are so important. And they have to grow, and we continue to grow in them. You know, the danger sometimes is, as a family, is when 75% or 99% only know that there's a war going on. It's that 1%. It's the me. It's the you that we have to make sure we understand there's a war. And what's at war, or what's at stake, is your soul, is my soul. And we need to pray. We need to have a relationship with him. And the only way you're going to stop the flaming missiles, as it says here, of Satan, is if your shield is what it's supposed to be. That doesn't mean they're not coming. They will come. But it's determined on, based on how great or how strong your faith is. They're coming. How strong is your faith? Again, if we use the analogy of cardboard, that's a problem. But if our shields continue to grow and our shields continue to get stronger in understanding our relationship with God, it says they will extinguish his missiles. Extinguish them. That is awesome. And as a soldier, as soldiers of Christ arising, it's the idea that you and I are here to help one another. We're helping one another. In Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." I'm going to tell you, verse 3 is a powerful verse to me. And that's not a selfish thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit. It is my responsibility to put you ahead of me. To view you more important than me. Are you kidding me? To view you more important than me. You know why I should do that? It's the next verse. Jesus Christ. That's why. He was willing to put you and me above him. The Son of God, the King of Kings. And it is my responsibility to do the same with you. I'm not in competition with you. And believe me, I am as competitive as they come. When I first started preaching, I wanted to be the best preacher ever. That includes Jesus and Paul and Peter. So I'm fourth. Right? This competition that people do, we get so caught up in that. And churches will do that with each other. When we're all family. And there's such an interesting piece of that for us as a congregation. It's the same. I'm here to help you, not compete with you. I'm here to help you build you up, just like you're here to build me up. And when I do something wrong, guess what? You tell me. And you do. That's the responsibility of one another. That's what a family does. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ do. But I ask you, verse 3, if you struggle with verse 3, I encourage you every day to start with this verse and then pray about this verse. Can you imagine what it would be like? And it's awesome here, believe me. But can you imagine what it's like if 100% of the people in a local congregation is living for verse 3 and 4? That I am putting you above me. and vice versa. And that we're all doing that. It's the idea of the verses that were just read to us, maybe. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and the reality for us that we are to help one another as fellow heirs. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, verses 22, 23. But in verse 24 it says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." That's another one. You step on your own feet first. My own toes. You get so caught up so often in the selfish ambition and being conceited and the pride. But verse 25, look, if you live by the Spirit, walk by it. Don't just say it. Do it. Help one another. Chapter 6 continues the same thought. If you see somebody stumble, help them. Or the spirit of gentleness. You are my fellow heir. We are an army of heirs. And with God on our side, man can do nothing to us. Satan can do nothing to us. Now, that's a good theory. The reality comes in that we all have to be that. We all have to do that. And sometimes there's things that come up. And you think about being a family of heirs. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, we'll start with the greatest part, I guess. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, beginning of verse 7, it says, "You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." There's something that happens for some people. I can appreciate this verse from a brother and sister in Christ perspective. But for some odd reason, there are some times where husbands will treat their wives horribly. And you know what this verse says? If you do not treat her as a fellow heir, your prayer will be hindered. You will be hindered. He didn't ask you if that's what you would like to have happen. He's telling you, husbands, you may not understand everything that she does. I think that's what the first part's about. But you better treat her as a fellow heir. And it has everything to do with your relationship with the Almighty God, your Father. Wives, you're not excluded. But it's the same principle. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it's the same thing. We have a responsibility to understand this relationship, husbands and wives. You can treat everybody else really, really well. This verse makes it emphatically clear that you better treat your spouse correctly. That is amazing. And the amazing thing to me as we go on with this point, and we'll talk about this the rest of the year, is how often people are going to be more willing to treat strangers better than they'll treat their own family. What is that about? You should treat strangers well. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But rest assured, you better treat your family correctly. And in this verse, your spouse, your wife, in this case, correctly. Parents and children. You know, when you read certain verses from a different perspective, it's interesting to me. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, in verse 6, we'll start in verse 5. Jesus has a child that comes to him. And in verse 5 it says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea." You don't have to understand what a millstone is. I'm telling you right now, verse 6 is bad if you don't. What if that's the parent? See, we talk about other people. If I cause another child to stumble, that's something. What if it's my children? It's the same responsibility in Ephesians 5 and 6. Same conversation. One of the most amazing things that I saw when Ty and so many others, when they obeyed the gospel, is when a parent comes to the conclusion to understand, you are not only my child, you are my brother or sister in Christ. That is amazing. Same with husband and wife. You are not just my child, you are my brother in Christ. My children, they're not just my children. They're my brother and sister in Christ. And it is my responsibility, even more so, as parent. There's other things that come with that. But certainly, as brothers and sisters in Christ, to make sure that I understand that they also are fellow heirs to the God Almighty. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. And as I said, as we go forward throughout the year, we'll talk more in detail about that. But it is an amazing, awesome responsibility. Whether you're talking about a husband and wife or a parent and child. And God is going to hold you accountable to it. That's the sobering thing to me. Every decision I make. When people say, oh, that's just not a battle that I want to take on. I'm going to tell you, shame on you. When it's your children, it's always a battle to take on. They're fellow heirs. Always a battle. Does that keep you busy? You're a parent. It's supposed to. I hate to break it to you. You're supposed to. If you understand the responsibility that you want to have children, it's time to wake up. That's what comes with it. Same with being married. Same thing. It's the responsibility, because the way I raise my children dictates my relationship with God. And same with my wife. But it's not where it stops. It's the same perspective and the same attitude that I'm supposed to have towards you. You know, in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, the interesting thing that goes right before we talk about wives be submissive to husbands, it says, I need to be in submission to one another. We are to be in submission to one another. But in Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning of verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoting to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Brotherly love, be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another. In Proverbs, the 27th chapter and verse 17, it talks about iron sharpens iron. It's right after it talks about a dripping faucet and a contentious woman are the same, which is a funny verse. But verse 17, iron sharpens iron. Even in times where you and I disagree, even in times where we're striving to help one another understand the truth, or we're trying to have conversations about the truth, my understanding of this passage is, I still love you. We live in a time, though, when people disagree. What does that mean? They hate me. What? So often when people disagree with things, we want to take our ball and go home. In brotherly love, I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a shock to many of you. Tom and I did not always agree growing up. We didn't. He thinks he's better. I thought I was better. We didn't agree. I don't say this to him normally, but I still love him. My dad and I don't agree on everything. But I love him. I think he loves me. Same with Kevin and Wayne. Same with all of you. But that's the reality of iron sharpening iron. It's not pillows sharpening pillows. Sometimes it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But the reality is, it comes down to brotherly love. Be devoted to one another. My relationship with God is seen in my relationship with my brethren. And 1 John says, if there are things that we disagree with, or if I hate you from the standpoint of the biblical definition of hate, then I hate God. So my relationship with you is about my relationship with God. and vice versa. It's all about brotherly love. So whether we're talking about you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ, my children as brothers and sisters in Christ, or my wife as my sister in Christ, we better understand that we are fellow heirs of the Lord God Almighty. And they have the exact same rights as his heirs as I do. And that inheritance that they have is the same one that I have. And I'm not in competition. I don't have to beat you to get into heaven, thankfully, for you. But that's not what it's about. We all have that opportunity. I'm going to tell you, one of the most greatest dreams that I have is on the day of judgment, first of all, that I hear well done. But that I can look around and see everybody from West Mason or everybody that's a child of God doing the exact same thing. But that's your decision. That we're all there. But that's your decision. That's my decision. And there is no doubt it starts with our, or at least part of us, our understanding of how we treat one another as fellow heirs. And the reality is, it's also towards outsiders. Do good towards outsiders. But especially those of the household of faith, as Galatians 6:10 says. We are to do good to people. We are certainly to do good to one another. But we have a responsibility to let our light shine in the darkness. In the darkness. That people are going to see us. That doesn't mean they're going to like it. Over in Colossians, the fourth chapter, Paul tells us we have to be very, very clear or careful of how we act, no matter where we are. In verse 5, it says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person." Verse 5. The first thing we have got to understand is that what an opportunity is. Every time it's an opportunity to either conduct yourselves well or not. Either to be the right example or not. This includes driving, by the way. This includes when somebody comes to your table and they're serving you, by the way. One of the biggest difficulties is sometimes, at least for me, is that you view people to be just obstacles. The other day, on Liberty Way in Butler Warren, there was a horrible wreck, and many of us were caught in it. And I was telling the kids, you know, this is an obstacle to us. There's somebody that's highly upset with their family that was in that wreck. It always depends on where you are in the situation. Those are people there, not just hindering me from getting to where I want to go. They're people. Why does it make a difference all of a sudden if I know who they are? It's sad no matter what. That's not always the way I look at it, though. When you get caught, my sister one time was coming up, and she was caught behind this horrible wreck, and come to find out people died in it. That'll change your perspective quickly of a wreck, of having to wait there, because somebody's not coming home. And I was upset that I was a few minutes late. There's opportunities that come up and how we act in those opportunities. And the most amazing thing is it doesn't say, make sure that you act this way when the outsiders act well. It just says you conduct yourselves well. That even means when they're not. You conduct yourselves well. Why? So that people will see that you are a fellow heir with Christ. In Matthew, the fifth chapter, this is exactly what Jesus says. Why are we to do these things? In verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's why. You let your light shine. You conduct yourselves correctly so that people will glorify God. That's why. They will see Him. they'll see him. There's a great responsibility in being an heir with Christ. A great responsibility. Last year, and we will continue to talk about being a child of God, that is an amazing thing. But with that comes responsibility. He expects us to act like his children. If you have not, that's so everybody else can see themselves. Except for I wasn't in that picture, I don't understand that. You think about being a part of just a family. The scariest thing to me, and I love that picture because some of the kids are still so small, it's so interesting. But there's a great chance, and it's up to you and me, that some of you are not part of the church universal. You can be in the directory. You can be in this picture. You can say when people ask you, where do you go to church? I go to West Mason Church of Christ. My question to you is, are you part of the Lord's body? Are you a part of his church? Do you have a relationship with him? Are we treating the people that are around us the way that we should? Are we going to war, understanding what's at stake? And I'm going to tell you, brethren and friends, you're at war whether you like it or not. It's not asking you if you would like to volunteer for it. You're at war spiritually. And this is not new. People think in the last few years, this has always been the case since Adam and Eve. You're at war. I'm at war. Welcome to the war. It's time to put on the armor. It's time to have a relationship with him. He was willing to do all for you and for me. He was willing to pay a debt, as we sing, that I could not pay, that you could not pay. Just simply because he loves you. He was willing to make you an heir of his just because he loves you. That is so amazing to me. I thank God every day that an opportunity to be his child. I thank him far more the fact that he didn't just save me. As we've said many times, he adopted me. He adopted you. You are his child. And you have the opportunity to receive the inheritance of being his child. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you're losing the war. You're losing. If you know what you need to do, it's not about obeying the gospel, then you're losing the war. He was willing to die for you. He just simply asked, are you willing to live for me? That's what he wants to know. If you confess him that he is the Son of God, that he is Lord, that you repent of the sins that you committed, that he was willing to die for, be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Now's the time. If you have questions, ask them, please. Pray for one another. Continue to be a strong family. Continue to help one another, understanding that you are all fellow heirs. But if there's anything that we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.